a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
What is the next event on God's prophetic calendar? Well, good morning and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. We're broadcasting from beautiful Brookside Baptist Church on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield. And I want to extend to you a very personal invitation. We would love to have you come and visit with us here Sunday morning, Sunday night, or on a Wednesday. We have services, we have Bible studies, we have wonderful Bible studies and activities for young people. And we'd certainly love to have you come and potentially even come and stay with us here and become part of our membership. We just would love to have you come and visit with us here at Brookside. Well, good morning. My name is Richard Schmidt. My home church, and I'm very happy to say, is Brookside Baptist Church. I also am part of what's called Prophecy Focus Ministries, and we go around the country and we do seminars. We do teaching on the prophetic scriptures in churches around the country as well. And we'd love to come and put on a seminar or a couple of sermons or even a long-term deal where we'd be happy to come and teach the prophetic scriptures in your venue, if you will. And you can find out what we're up to and some of our resources at www.prophecyfocusministries.com. And if you go there, you can keep up with what we're doing. And again, we'd love to come to your facility, wherever it may be, no matter how big, no matter how small, and we'd love to minister with you. Well, over the last several broadcasts, we've talked about specific promises that God made to our good friends, the Jewish people, and to the nation Israel. One of the things that I discussed multiple times was this event called the Rapture of the Church. Well, I think it's appropriate to stand by for today on the promises God specifically made to the Jewish people in Israel and talk about what's literally taking place today. And talk about this word rapture. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you've never heard of it before. And we want to take some time, go through one specific passage where this comes from, and find out what is all this discussion about the rapture. Now, let me tell you what it means real quickly, and then we'll start to look at the one major passage. There's several major passages, but one specific passage to understand exactly what it means. All right, here we go. In approximately 33 AD, Jesus Christ was crucified. Some put it at 30, others at 33, based on how they calculate their calendar. But let's just, for the sake of argument right now, in the early 30s, Jesus Christ was crucified. He was buried. He died, literally. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead and was raised victorious. We just celebrated Easter, which reminded of that. Well, shortly thereafter, what began was what's called as the church age. That's more of a term, a theological term, but what's most important is that after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, those that trusted in Jesus Christ were, if you will, called Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. So a Christian then is one who basically did this. They first of all realized that they were a sinner. Romans 3:10 and 3:23 made it very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They also understood, according to Romans 6:23, that the wages of their sin is death. In other words, because we've sinned or they've sinned after the cross, we have to understand that we're all sinners. Not one of us is perfect. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. Well, then Jesus tells us in the scriptures that he literally came down from heaven to pay for the sins of sinners. And again, who's sinners? Every single one of us. So that's why Jesus came. He left heaven's glory, left the heavenly Father's side, and came down to this earth to die on the old cross. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, and then some days later, he ascended up to heaven. Why did he do that? To pay for the sins of sinners, me and you. Now, God made it very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for Christians. In other words, every single person since the church age started or since people became Christians by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, once they die, the moment you die, you are, if you will, your spirit is taken to heaven. You're absent from the body, present with the Lord. But there's also a day coming when there will be a bodily resurrection. Now, we're going to go to that passage. It's a wonderful passage. It's quite frankly a very comforting passage. And we need to understand this great promise that God has made to Christians. This particular promise is going to take place before all the things discussed about Israel and the Jewish people will take place in the various covenants. So let's take a look at this great passage. And once again, it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 to 18. Now, it states this. Paul stating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and again, every single word in the Scripture is given by God. It's God-breathed. It comes through the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And the 1 Thessalonians states this, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren or Christians, concerning those who have fallen asleep or have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." I'll tell you, one of the saddest things in the world is when I go to a funeral and people, certain individuals, are just so distraught. They're hugging the casket. They're crying uncontrollably because they have no hope. They don't know Christ. They didn't know their loved one, whether they knew Christ. And there's no hope. And this passage is saying, listen, we as Christians should never go to a funeral in that light because we do have hope. And here's the hope. In verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died or are asleep in Jesus." That's the great news. That's the great promise. God's saying, listen, when you unfortunately have to go to a funeral and your loved one is there, you shouldn't sorrow as those that have no hope. If that person knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there is hope. In fact, hope is a weak word in the English language. It's a guarantee. And what does he say in verse 15? "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we Christians who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep or have died in Christ." Now, wait a second. What is he saying here? Paul is talking to the Christians at Thessalonica. And let me tell you why he was talking to them. Paul went to Thessalonica in approximately 50 AD on one of his missionary journeys. The scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 16 that Paul went in and he preached for three Sabbaths or three different weeks about how to trust Christ as their personal Savior. Well, one of the issues that he went into was he told them about what would take place at this event, the rapture or the removal of the Christians from the earth, as well as the reuniting of the physical bodies of those who have died and have gone to heaven. Well, one of the things that the Thessalonians were also told by Paul was that event would happen before a seven-year tribulation period where there will be horrific things taking place on this earth. You can read about those in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. These poor Thessalonian Christians happened to live in a very corrupt, evil place. Thessalonica was a big metropolitan city back in 50 AD, and they were not exactly accepted by their pagan friends. In other words, the majority of the people were giving the Christians a very, very hard time, and they were severely persecuting them. Well, Paul found out about that. He only was able to stay a short period of time in Thessalonica, and he started to travel south and ended up down into the Greece area. And he sent his good friend and fellow minister Timothy back to the church at Thessalonica to find out how they were doing. Well, Timothy came back, met up with Paul in Corinth in about 52 AD, 51 AD. And Timothy said, listen, man, these Thessalonian Christians, they're on fire for God. They're serving God. They're loving God. But you know what, Paul? They're scared. And he said, what do you mean they're scared? They think they missed that rapture that you told them about. They think they're in that horrible seven-year tribulation. And Paul was like, uh-oh, we've got to fix this. So Paul wrote this letter, 1 Thessalonians, and shortly thereafter, 2 Thessalonians, to assure the Christians at Thessalonica that they were not in the tribulation, that all those horrific events, and maybe you've heard about the Antichrist and the horrible things that he'll do and all the persecution and so forth that'll take place. He said, listen, I got to make sure they understand they will not go through the tribulation period if they've trusted Christ as their Savior. So that's why he's saying, listen, verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4, For this we say to you, Christian, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, here's the key, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. In other words, absent from the body, present with the Lord with their spirit, but now the bodily resurrection. They'll be given their glorified bodies where they'll be able to spend an eternity with God. So he says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should be looking forward to the upper taker, not the undertaker. We should be looking for Jesus to one day come in the clouds and we'll be resurrected, where we'll meet the dead folks being reunited with their bodies. Those who have trusted Christ, by the way, if they're not Christians, they will not be resurrected at this time. That's a different resurrection. So here we go. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then he says this. He's like, isn't that great news? And in verse 18, he stresses it. Therefore, based on this wonderful future event that's going to take place, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'll tell you what, I love to give this passage when I'm doing a funeral because there is hope for the Christian. Now, again, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're without hope. There is no hope for those without Christ. You say, well, that's awful harsh. I don't mean to be harsh. I mean to actually be loving. And I mean now to give you the way that you can take part in this wonderful event called the rapture of the church, the removal of the church age saints. Better stated, maybe more simply stated, the taking of Christians to heaven. So what do you do? Again, we went through the gospel. The gospel's very simple. Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. What do you mean lost? Lost simply means when we were born, the Bible makes it very clear that we all were born sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And what does that mean? It means that because of our sin, we've been separated from God for eternity, but that's not what God wants. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Well, he made a way for you to get to heaven. He made a way for you to enjoy that next great prophetic event when the dead and alive shall be resurrected to be with him. Listen, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in yourself? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved. God's free unmerited gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Listen, you cannot work your way to heaven. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're the best person on earth. You are born a sinner. There is no hope for you apart from trusting in Jesus Christ. Listen, here's the promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him, period, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, friend, have you ever trusted Christ? If you have, are you living for him? Are you looking forward to the return of Jesus in the air, where those who have died before us in Christ and those of us who are alive as Christians, we look forward to Jesus soon appearing? What will you do with Jesus today?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.